All right. I'm not going to talk for very long tonight. I know I say that all the time, but, you know, I'm really not, because I don't feel very well, but I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Brother Dave's giving me some word of faith doctrine, so, you know, I'm rebuking it. But tonight is going to be very, not that this is any different than normal, but it's going to be very blunt and honest and to the point, and it's going to be from my heart. So I hope nobody gets offended, but just hear me out first. Just hear out exactly what I'm going to say tonight. Around this time of year, I like to reflect on the past year, and I like to think about what went right and what went wrong. That's just me. I'm a reflective kind of person. We had a great year at Fusion. We definitely had a great year at Fusion. We started actually having Fusion services in February. And we started, when Paige and I got here, there was about 20 to 30 young people that came here, and they were dedicated. Believe me, we had an awesome foundation to build on. But since February, from February up until this past year, thank you, honey. So sweet. From February up until this past month, we had 125 people walk through the doors. So we went from 30 to 125 people. I think that's great. That means you guys have been doing your job. And what's most awesome about that is that we have not advertised at all. We have those cards, but you guys haven't taken any of them. You know, therefore, you can take 50 of them if you want to. You know, you can put them anywhere you want to. If you want to, just go to your high school and throw them up in the air in the hallway and let them go where they may. I don't really care because they're sitting in my office right now. So take them. Take them and spread them out. But we had 125 people come. Out of those 125 people, we had 13 people give their lives to Christ over the past 10 and a half months. That's amazing. That's extremely amazing. We had 8 people. Y'all, I don't know if you remember that night, but we had 8 people baptized in the Holy Spirit that night when the Holy Spirit just moved, and 8 people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. We helped a lot of people. We've gone out. See, when you guys give us money, we collect money every once in a while, we give it to people. We don't keep it. We give it out. We helped people at Christmas. We helped people at Thanksgiving. We helped people that had babies and couldn't afford stuff. So we've helped a lot of people. And we've had a lot of fun, and we made a lot of new friends. All of those things are great, and I thank God for them, and you should be very proud of yourselves. I'm very proud of all of you. But then I think about the other side. What went wrong? Or to put it another way, did we do everything within our power to fulfill our full potential? Even though all of these wonderful things happened in 2005, I have one thought that keeps running through my mind over and over and over again. And it's this. We could have done so much more. We could have helped so many more people. We could have given so much more of ourselves to God and His kingdom. So the next logical question is this. Why didn't we? What stopped us? I can't answer for any of you. I can't answer for everyone else. So I am going to tell you what stopped me. I'm going to be honest. A lot of preachers wouldn't do this because preachers, by their nature, want to look good for people. But I've come to the point that I don't care. I'm a human being. I mess up. So I'm going to tell you what stopped me from being the best Christian that I can be. I spent too much time watching television and not enough time spending with God. I passed people by on the street and said nothing to them when I knew that the Holy Spirit was telling me to stop and talk to them, but I was too busy. I knew I was impatient and argumentative with people close to me instead of having patience and showing love. And I held parts of myself back from God because I was ashamed of myself and I wasn't sure that I could really change. Honestly, I struggle with... I'll just be honest with you. I'll be honest. I struggle with laziness. I struggle with doubt. And I struggle with unbelief. And this slowed me down this past year, and it messed me up. Now, I have two choices. I can beat myself up about it, and I can allow myself to wallow in self-pity, or I can decide that I can't live this way anymore. I can't live this way anymore because there is too much on the line. There's too much at stake. There are too many people to help and not enough time for me to be stupid anymore. All right. Now that I have been honest and transparent about myself and what I need to change, can I be honest and transparent about some things that I see in some of you? It's quiet in here. I'm a pretty quiet person, so sometimes I stand back and I observe. You know, I'm quiet by nature. Plus, I am a pastor, and sometimes God actually does speak to me. So these are the things that I've seen over the past year. Number one, I see that many of you are hard workers and great leaders in Fusion, but I sense that you are holding back on God. For whatever reason, you don't worship like you used to. You don't pray like you used to. And the passion for God has grown cold in your lives. There could be many reasons for this happening in the past, but it doesn't have to happen any longer. The second thing that I've seen is that some of you are holding and hiding secret sin in your life that is destroying you like a cancer. You may be so ashamed and disgusted with yourself because of this thing, but you cannot seem to break this addiction. And the last thing I've seen, and I believe me, I don't want to see these things. I like to think of you guys as perfect. But when I hear things about you that always come back to me, whether I want them to or not, it breaks my heart. Because you're my family, I love you. But I hear things, I see things, God speaks to me. The third thing is many of you are extremely discouraged and confused about your role in this church and what it really means to be a Christian. You see things you don't agree with. You hear people gossip and lie in the church, and you don't know what to do with your life. Now, why am I saying this? This isn't the typical happy-go-lucky New Year's message. I'm saying this because things need to change, and things need to change now. When Paige and I accepted this position as youth pastor a year ago, I knew that my job was to win young people to Christ. That's it. But I made a vow that I would not do it with cheesy games and pizza parties. I'm not that kind of youth pastor. We have games, we have pizza parties, but I'm not going to do it that way. I'm not going to win people that way. I refuse to trick people into coming to a party and then starting to preach to them. To me, that's deceitful and dishonest. It's called bait and switch. Used car people do it all the time. They get you in with something. They say all this stuff to butter you up and do all this stuff. And then you feel comfortable and all of a sudden, blam, they hit you with the bottom line. I'm not going to do that with people. I was at a funeral not too long ago. A funeral. And people were grieving. And someone gave the most disgusting, I'll just call it this way. Someone gave the most disgusting altar call I've ever heard in my life, praying on innocent, grieving people. And it hurt me that these people were grieving. They did not need somebody up in the pulpit bashing them over the head with it. I'm not going to do that with your friends. If we have a block party, it's a block party. It's not a bait and switch, undercover gospel event. I'm not going to do that. To me, that's dishonest and deceitful. My goal is to raise up young people who are true followers of Jesus Christ, disciples who are willing to give their life for Him if that's what's necessary. And that is the way I view you guys. I don't view you as a bunch of kids. I view you as the church of your generation. It's not my job. It's not Pastor Jason's job. It's not your parents' job to reach your generation. It's 100% your job. Your job. It's your responsibility. It's your calling. If you don't reach them, they will not be reached. And an entire generation will be lost and burn in flames in eternal hell. That's reality. And I know I'll probably get made fun of because I talked about hell on New Year's Day, but I don't really care. It's true. There's a hell. People are going there every day. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to spend another year coming in here on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and singing a few cool songs, hearing me talk and playing PlayStation and playing pool? Or are we going to do something that will make an eternal impact on this world? That's the challenge we face. We need to present a relevant, loving, and compassionate church to our generation. We have to show them that church is not boring. We have to show them that church is not a bunch of judgmental people, and that it's not a building that you come to on Sunday morning. It is our job to represent the real Jesus to this generation. But there's a problem. We are going to have a hard time doing this because there are a bunch of people out there who call themselves Christians but are ignorant, hateful, flaky, and just plain stupid. To illustrate what I'm talking about, let me show you a video clip. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you.
Amen. That's funny. Did anybody see that on a commercial or anything that was coming on? I know that woman is crazy. In fact, I was telling Dave, if anybody's possessed, it's that woman. And it's funny. It's funny to us. But unfortunately, she is the typical Christian to many people. In fact, when I was trying to find this video clip, I came to this message board. And it described the typical Christian with these words. Hateful. George Bush supporter. Homophobic, stupid, boring, irrelevant, and cultish. And the list went on and on and on. So if we know that we have to reach our generation, but this is the perception of what a Christian is, what are we supposed to do? This is what God is saying to you tonight, and it's up to you whether to accept it or not. We need a complete, total, and outright revolution in the church and in our lives if we expect to do anything for God in this world. We cannot do the same things anymore. Things have to change, and they have to change drastically. I know that you've heard me use this word revolution before, but I don't think you've understood exactly what I've been talking about. So I want to give you a few examples real quick tonight. The word revolution means a sudden and absolutely drastic change, a complete turnaround. Revolutionaries are people. Listen to me with this, because this is what the next year is all about. So listen to what I say here, please. Revolutionaries are people who take a look around them and realize that everything is screwed up and needs to be changed. But they don't expect someone else to do it. They believe that if they don't do it, then it won't be done. And they would rather die than to live the same way any longer. There is always a moment in a revolutionary's life where they finally see things for the way they really are. Up until that moment, that person's happy, normal, living a normal life. They may even be happy and satisfied. But slowly but surely, something just does not seem right to them anymore. What used to make them happy doesn't make them happy anymore. They begin to doubt the things that they were so sure about before. And then one day, their eyes are opened and they have an aha moment. They have a revelation. They have an epiphany. They have a vision of things that things are not as they seem, that things are not what they are supposed to be. And they have to do something to change the world around them. Let me give you a few examples of the kind of people I'm talking about. The Beatles. Do I have any that actually listen to the Beatles? I know Mr. Paul would be raising his hand. The Beatles grew up at a time when Elvis, Buddy Holly, and other 50s bubblegum acts were dominating the radio. But they looked around and thought to themselves, there's got to be more than this. So they decided to do things their own way. I don't know if any of you were around when Beatlemania swept America, but it was like nothing this country's ever seen before. From 1962 to 1970, the Beatles changed the face of music forever. They had 17 number one hits that ranged from I Want to Hold Your Hand to the psychedelic Strawberry Fields Forever. They did music their own way and were considered the most influential band in history. Bands like the Grateful Dead, Nine Inch Nails, Nirvana, Led Zeppelin, System of a Down, and Jimi Hendrix say that the Beatles were their main musical influence. They came along and changed society. They were revolutionaries. In the late 16th century, a scientist named Galileo, obviously this is not an actual picture, looked up at the stars with something he helped to invent called the telescope. For his whole life, he heard that the stars and the planets revolved around the Earth, and the Earth was the center of the universe. But what he saw didn't make sense to him. What he saw in that telescope contradicted everything he believed or understood from his past. So he had a choice to make. Go along with the status quo so that he could fit in with the other scientists of his day, or he could do something radically different. And that's what he did. Galileo said that the earth is not the center of the universe. The sun is. And that all the other planets rotate around the sun. He was laughed at and mocked. But everything he took a stand for and decided was he became a revolutionary. Everything in astronomy and science was changed because of him. He was a revolutionary. One more. In the early 1900s, there was a man named Gandhi. Paulie said this was the fifth beetle. The anorexic beetle. No, it's a man named Mahatma Gandhi. He was a normal young man who was attending law school in London. Then one day his law firm offered him a job in South Africa, and he gladly accepted. When Gandhi went to South Africa, he was pretty shy and didn't really care too much about what happened in politics. But his eyes were opened very quickly to the cruel reality of life. When he would go on trains in South Africa, he was forced to sit in the back of the train where the baggage was because he was colored. Once he was beaten by a person because he refused to give up his seat to a white person. At this moment in Gandhi's life, he realized that the world around him was extremely unfair and messed up, and he had a choice. Sit there and accept it like everybody else did, or do something about it. Well, Gandhi did something about it. He began to lead nonviolent protests in his home country of India. And eventually, after many beatings and jailings, he helped win freedom for his people. And he died for it. He died for his cause. He was a revolutionary. You have the same choice tonight that the Beatles, Galileo, and Gandhi had. Take a look around you. Take a hard look at the society, at your generation. Things are screwed up. Kids are killing themselves. They're having sex at 11 years old. I heard of a girl get pregnant at 12 the other day. And they're doing drugs in elementary school. And do you know what the saddest thing is? The church is doing absolutely, positively nothing about it. We sit up here in our nice padded chairs and sing cool songs and pretend we're making a difference when the world is going to hell around us. It's time for a revolution in the church, and it's going to start with you. God is raising up a generation of young people who are obsessed with Jesus and nothing else. And he is going to take that group of people and cause an uprising in this country. Revolutionaries that are sold out to the cause, willing to die for the cause, willing to die for it, if that's what it took. And that's the difference between a Christian and a true disciple of Christ. Most so-called Christians wouldn't die for Jesus because they're not willing to even live for him. Where are you at? What is the condition of your life? Are you riding the fence? I don't care about my notes. I'm starting off 2006 hardcore. I don't care. I don't care. Where are you at? Where are we at? What are we doing? What are we doing? What's this all about? What's Fusion all about? What's Calvary Worship Center all about? What's church all about? Coming up in here Sunday morning, hearing a few nice words from the Bible, singing a few songs, maybe getting bopped down on the carpet and going home. What's the big deal? Who cares? Who cares? What are we doing? Jesus Christ, this could be a controversial subject, but I guarantee you if Jesus Christ and Paul the Apostle were walking on earth today, the last place they would be is in a church. They would be out doing something. They would be out helping people. They would be praying. They would be loving. They would do whatever it took to change the world. I'm 30 years old. Maybe that's why it's hitting me. Because Jesus was 30 years old when he started his ministry. And he was on the earth for 3 years. But the most radical revolutionary that ever lived was Jesus Christ. He never wrote a word. He never wrote a book. He never did anything like that. But 2 billion people are Christians today because of one man. Because he decided, I'm not going to do all the traditional normal things. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I don't care what anybody else thinks. We're going to start a movement. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to make it easy for people to become Christians. That's where we messed up. Coming up to an altar, bowing down, saying a nice little quaint prayer, don't make you a Christian. Living the life. So I'm talking to you guys. You're my family, but sometimes family got to talk straight. How you living? How are you living? A true disciple of Christ lives the life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if I lose half of you guys by next Wednesday, that would suck. But if I have 20 people here that are saying, you know what, I'm ready. I'm ready to lay down my life if that's what it takes. Then that's all I care about. That's all I care about. We've got to start getting hardcore. Hardcore revolution. The vision for this coming year for Fusion is two things. Very simple. We're going to pray and we're going to love people. That's it. We've overcomplicated this whole thing. I told Chris, I said, if we got to say, we're not meeting here on Wednesday night, we're going to Starbucks and we're just going to hang around and say, hey, can I do something for you? Can I wash your car? Hey, do you got a flat tire? Let's fix his flat tire. Hey, let's go to Klein's and carry groceries to their car for him. That's what Jesus would be doing. Not this. I love what we do here. We need to do it, but we got to do more than this. Stephanie is our outreach leader, and she's got to beg, borrow, and plead to get people to come help her. That needs to change. In fact, you know what? I don't want an outreach team. This is the outreach team. All of us. I'm just the kind of person, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. 2006 is going to be the year. It's either going to be the year that we're going to do what we're supposed to do, or I'm going to go crazy. I would rather burn out for God than rust out. To sit here and do nothing. Nothing over and over and over again. If what we were doing was working, then the whole world would be one. But it's not working. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. We're insane because we've been doing the same stuff over and over again and it's not working. We got to do something different. And I'm going to require more from you. I'm going to require some discipleship. I'm going to come up and ask you, so don't be surprised if I come up and ask you, so what are you praying for this week? What'd you pray for this morning? Who'd you talk to this week? Is anybody with you? Now, I know it's intimidating, and I know you're not going to win 10 souls to the Lord every week. But we've got to pray as if that can happen. We've got to pray as if all things are possible. That's what God's revealed to me. We say all this stuff like, we have victory in Christ Jesus and all things are possible to those who believe. Then where are they at? I don't feel victorious. All things haven't been possible to me. So obviously, it's not God's fault, it's my fault. If we can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea and it shall be done, then why is it still there? Why is the 99% of the people in your school lost? Paul went into cities and turned them upside down because of who he had inside of him. And because he was ready to give it all up. He was ready to get stoned. He was ready to get beaten. He was ready to get spit upon. Don't you realize God is looking for someone to do that? Don't you realize? Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus says this, look at me, I stand at the door, I knock. If you hear me and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I have conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father. That's my gift to the conquerors. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words. The Spirit is blowing through the churches. Here and now. Now is the time. Now is the time. I'm not waiting anymore. And I'm asking you to come with me. Come with us. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the center. We're going to take some risks. I heard a quote that said, to risk is to lose your foothold for a while, but not to risk is to lose everything. And I don't want to lose everything. If I got to make a mistake, if I got to screw up once or twice, that's fine. But I want to take some risks in this upcoming year. Can I get you to stand up? Just close your eyes for just a minute. We're going to be dismissing in a moment, but don't forget what I said tonight. Please. This is my heart. If I could rip out my heart and put it on this stage, this is what it would look like. This is what it would say. Somebody is going to change this generation. I want it to be us. Lord, right now, I could sit up here and preach for 5 hours, but God, it's you, Holy Spirit, that comes into people's hearts and changes them. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, show us hell. If that's what it takes, dangle every single one of us over the pits of hell. Show us what it means. Show us what an eternity without you really means. So that it wouldn't be so easy for us to walk by our friends. And it wouldn't be so easy for us to not pray for a loved one. Get us out of our selfishness and our materialisticness. God, I pray, Lord, open our eyes. Wake us up. Show us what's important. And God, whether it's 100 people or whether it's 2 people, raise up revolutionaries out of this group tonight. Send them forth. Let them rise up. This is a cheesy thing that people do, but I feel led to do it. If you're with me and you're at least willing to say, I want to do this, I'm sick of church as usual, I'm sick of Christianity as usual, I want to do something different, I don't know what that's going to involve, but I want to try, can I ask you to just come down to the front and just stand around the front and let's just pray together for a few minutes and just dedicate ourselves to God. Just dedicate everything, every passion, every desire, everything in your life. Can I just ask you to lift your hands? Both hands. Father, right now, you see us, you see where we are, God, you see where we've been, you see the mistakes we've made, you see the things we've done that we shouldn't have done, and the things that we haven't done that we should have done, but God, that's the past. This is the new day. Help us, Father, to seize this moment. Help us to seize this moment. God, I pray right now for every single person that is in this altar, that they would mean what they're saying, that they would mean what they're doing by throwing up their arms. They're surrendering to you, Jesus. Jesus, here we are. Here we are, Jesus. There's nothing more we can do except say, here we are. I surrender. I surrender. We surrender to you, God. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't know how to proceed from this point, but you have a plan. You've been moving this whole time, God. Help us to go where you've already been moving. Help us to ride the wave of your Spirit in this county, Lord, in these schools, Father. Lord, I pray for these schools right now, God. I lift up my voice, Father, for the schools in this county, Lord. I lift up my voice for Hartford Tech, God. We have many students that go to Hartford Tech, and I ask them to make you them warriors, make them warriors, make them warriors, God. Lord, sold out, Lord, non-compromising, Father. God, I pray that as they enter through the doors of that school, Father, that your spirit would be so saturated upon them, Father. Lord, that they would not have to say anything, God, but your spirit, oh, Lord, would go ahead of them like a tsunami, Father, that would totally affect the climate of that school and of the teachers and of the principals and of the janitors and everybody in that place. Father, our God, I pray for revolutionaries. Raise them up today. Raise them up tonight. Let us not leave this place the same. God, let us grasp this. Let us grasp this move. Holy Lord. Holy Lord. Holy God. Speak, Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to pray. Where are you, Gary? Lift up your voice and just pray for us tonight.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you right now, Lord. We are humble servants in your presence right now, God. Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't know what the next steps are, Lord. We just surrender tonight to you and everything that we can do, Father, Lord. We just ask you to come with us. Lord, let your train fill this temple tonight, Father, Lord. Let your train come in here and fill this temple, Lord. Change us. Start here. Start now. Change us. Start with us. Lord, forgive us for missing the opportunities that we had. Prepare us for what's about to come. Lord, but do a work in us. Start with us tonight, Father. Lord, I just feel your presence here tonight, God. Change us. Do something real, Lord. We want to feel your real manifested presence, Father. Without that, it's not worth it. Without your manifested presence, it's just not worth it, Lord. We can't do it on our own. We cannot do anything on our own. We need you. We need you now. We need you more than ever. We need your real presence, Lord. I ask you to be with us tonight, Father. Give us your direction.
I'm just going to ask us to end tonight. When in the Bible, if you read the Old Testament, when Israel messed up and they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, God called them to repent. He said, fast is what we're going to be doing. I'm going to ask you guys to help us fast. And they said, put on sackcloth and ashes. What they would do is put on the nastiest, dirtiest garment they had, and they would literally pick up dirt and ashes from the floor and throw them over their head, because they're showing God, God, I am so sinful, and you are so holy. When Jesus came, he said, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here and now. The kingdom of God is in heaven, but the kingdom of God is here on earth. We are supposed to be bringing in the kingdom. So I'm going to end tonight. I want us to end tonight by saying a prayer together of repentance. Repent means to turn away from your sin and to never go back again. So I'm going to just ask you to repeat after me if you mean it. And we're going to end in this way. When I'm done with this prayer, you can feel led to stay here or leave, but do it quietly. But let us end with a prayer of repentance. Say, Father, thank you for your move. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought us here. And thank you for your word. Tonight, O Lord, we stand as one. We stand as one people that have messed up. We've not done what we should have done, and we have done what we shouldn't have done. We have sinned. We have messed up. But tonight, I ask you, in Jesus' name, to forgive us of all sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Purify us and sanctify us and prepare us for the move of your Spirit. Let us be warriors. Let us be soldiers. Let us be revolutionaries and never be afraid and never back down. In Jesus' name, amen.